spiritual exercise. Spiritual exercise, that's this morning. That's what we're going to look at this morning, spiritual exercise. Let's look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Heavenly Father, this morning we have this your word here in front of us, and I pray that we would just not be hearers of your word or readers of your word, but doers of your word. When we take your word and apply it to our lives, how much richer we will be as your children, as ambassadors, when we affix your word to our hearts. So, Father, let that happen this morning. Let this word be affixed to our hearts. Father, hold my tongue from what I'm not supposed to say. Let me only speak what you would want me to share this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, so it's a new year. Yes, new year. And let me just say to those of you regular attenders that go to the gym, don't worry, it's going to clear out here within the next month, all right? The only workouts that's going to happen for a lot of those folks is their credit card for those gym dues. It's just going to eat away. It's going to exercise that bank account, because 90% of those people that said, hey, this is the year, it's really not that year, and neither was last year. And so don't worry about that. I know that social media and podcasts and every magazine around is telling us, hey, get in shape, you know, or get in a healthy state, all right, a good shape, be healthy, eat, have a good diet. But mainly, get rid of that excess that you have on our body. Paul, he teaches us that physical exercise is useful. He says physical exercise is useful, but temporary, while spiritual exercise is eternal. You get that? It's important, yes. There's nothing, you know, that physical shape, that exercise, it's important, but it's short-lived. You're not going to be in this all your life. The thing is when you become a child of God, you have that eternal life, you're not going to be in this shell, so it's not that important. But what is important is that you're spiritually exercising, because that, my friends, is eternal. This author of Hebrews, when he speaks to us, he puts it in a frame of athletic imagery, right? You know, and so it's important here, this the way he speaks of this spiritual exercise. It's important to us, and we find that here, what in this text we just read, these first three verses in Hebrews. And so let's look at these four crucial spiritual exercises that we find here in these first three verses, all right? And so, and that's things that we should adopt, things we should have adopted,
but maybe we're going to carry on here in 2021. And so the first one is remember forerunners of faith, all right? Remember forerunners of faith. Whenever in the first words there, you read there, it says, therefore, therefore. So in my learning, what is the therefore? Therefore. So the therefore, you got to go back. You got to go back. And that's what this we're looking at in verse 12 is they're saying, therefore. So they're saying, well, go back to chapter 11. So when you go back to chapter 11, this it's full of the hall of faith, all right? Like a hall of famers of faith, okay? Let me put it that way, all right? Where Bible characters from the Old Testament, and those who were martyred, were great people. And this is like the hall of fame. This is the who's who. And so we're not going to read that whole 11th chapter. Let me just run this down to you, all right? So, you know, if this first starts off with Abel, all right? Abel, I was like, when I read it, Abel, wow, he's a forerunner? But when you read about Abel, he brought the most acceptable sacrifice to our God. You know, Cain, not so much, all right? So Abel is named there. He's the first one. And then there's Enoch. Enoch, he lived some 365 years old. And you think that's pretty old? But in the scheme of things, he's right at the top 10 of the oldest men in the Bible. He's at the bottom at 365 years old, right? But the thing about Enoch, he was so right with God. He was so righteous with God at 365. He didn't die. The scripture says, God just took him. He just took him and said, come on, Enoch. Come with me, man. Well, he probably didn't say it like that, okay? But he said, come on, Enoch. And then there's Noah. Noah, come on. At the age of 500 years old, he starts building the ark. Woo! 500? Adam, and then there's Jacob, and Sarah, and Isaac, and Joseph, Moses, Rahab. You're like, Rahab? Rahab made the list? I mean, if you read in the Old Testament Rahab's story, you know, she was a prostitute. She made it? Well, this is why she made it, because she let two spies in, and she had faith in our God. And she said, what you Israelites have, I want that. And I'll do everything in my power to help you. And her faith, that's how come she made this hall of fame in faith. She's not judged by her past. And then there's Gideon and Samson and David and Samuel. And there's other martyrs. And when you read that text there in chapter 11, those who were martyred, the people were flogged, people were cut in half, sawed in half. I mean, they didn't have I know that they didn't have a DeWalt circular, you know, and it's all over, right? I'm not trying to be gore, but I'm just think about being cut in two in the name of our Lord. There are martyrs cut in two. These men and women were of faith. They said, whatever. We are setting the example. And we're not scared. Chapter 12 calls them a cloud of witnesses. And so how do we interpret that phrase? First, we're certainly their witnesses to us. We see them as examples. They set the example for us. We're like, if they did it, we can do it. If they persevered, so can we. But however, it could also mean that they're a witness for us. They're like spectators, right? You know, that's the way the writer of Hebrews, he kind of has that setting of like, okay,
the Romans and the Greek, the Olympics. It's in this athletics literature. I mean, the way it's spoken, it's this arena, this cloud of witnesses. Now, there's a lot of commentators that like say, don't push it too far, all right? They're not just sitting around just saying, okay, come on. You know, like, go, don't give up yet. Hang in there. You can do this. But to know that there are those who have gone before us, that have persevered, that have set the example for us, and to know that those cloud of witnesses that they persevered, if they can do it, then so can you. So can I. Secondly, we look at remove the hindrances of your faith. And so notice the contrast between the first phrase. It says, let us set aside every weight. And the second part says, the sin which so easily ensnares. And so that first phrase refers to things that aren't necessarily sinful. They're not wrong, right? There's nothing wrong with Xbox, all right? Or playing, or gaming. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? And the kids are like, yay, all right, pastor's on my side. All right? There's nothing necessarily wrong with, you know, your career or your hobbies or your relationship. But the thing is, when you start devoting more time toward those things than to him, then that's where it becomes a problem. It's a good thing, but keep it in perspective. God here, Xbox here, all right? Okay, and I'm not trying to be a promoter of Xbox, but I don't even have one, so. I'm not asking for one, but listen, there's nothing wrong with some of those items, okay? There's nothing wrong with creation, I think. It's the thing is when we pit the creation before the creator, that's where we slip and trip and fall. While all are good if they don't become, we don't set them above Jesus Christ. But the thing is, the verse also addresses a sin which so easily ensnares. If we just remove hindrances that might be innocent in themselves, but how much more would it be to remove that sin that so, as his word says, ensnares us? It almost, the word is like, oh, we got caught. We got caught in it. And some of us have gotten caught in it and are still caught. They're not saying, get off of me. Get off of me. But as long as we allow that sin to ensnare us, as long as we allow that sin to be a part of us, we allow it to be, that's a big hindrance. That's going to keep you from running well. You can't run when you've got all this stuff hanging on you. You can't worship freely if you got all this stuff hanging on you. You need to get rid of it. And sometimes it takes a little help. You might have to have an accountability partner, right? You might have to have somebody to say, hey, I'm having a problem with this. I've asked the Lord to forgive me, but I need somebody to keep me accountable. Hey, DJ, call me, okay? I'm having trouble. I need accountability. Call me up tomorrow and say, JR, are we good? I can say, yes, I'm good. Okay. All right, I'm going to call you tomorrow.
And you might think that's a little bizarre, a little bit too much. But if you really want to get rid of it, sometimes you can't get rid of that sin on your own. And you need somebody to be accountable to. And say, hey, I need your help. Keep me accountable.
Thirdly, run the race of faith.
Get in the race. Every believer should be racing, should be in the racing. We are not called to this. This being a child of God is not a spectator sport. Each and every one of us are called to be in the race. That this scripture mandates it. We're all familiar with mandates. We should be, right? The scripture mandates it.
The root word here of race is agon, which we get the word agony from. That makes sense, right? If you're running,
my side,
right? Agony. Sometimes we get tired. And sometimes we just say, you know what? I just quit. We quit and we don't get back up. We just say, hey, I'm just gonna hang out here. We are, each and every one of us, we face difficulties as we strive to glorify God in the midst of this fallen world. You're trying to say, hey, I want to be a Christian in this world that doesn't like me. It's hard to run in that kind of a race where you're not easily accepted. We are always either advancing, it seems, or sliding back. The Christian race is not running the Christian race is not like running in place. That achieves nothing. Yeah, okay, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm just staying right here in my cozy little spot. Okay. And the Heavenly Father's like, no, move. Move. Go. I didn't sit you. I didn't have you here to be a pew potato. Right? Get in the race and run it. And remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long run. It's an endurance run. How do we run the race of faith with such persistence? The last and the fourth one, spiritual exercise, brings it all together for us. It says, recover the focus of faith. Jesus needs to be our daily focus in life. We are to glance at those who are spoken of in the 11th chapter in Hebrews. We are to gaze on them, but more importantly, we are to gaze on Jesus Christ. We need to focus on Him. Above all others in the great cloud of witnesses is our Lord Jesus Christ. The word for fixing our eyes suggests a concentrated focus. It doesn't mean, okay, I see you, all right. And then turn away.
oh, I see you, and then I turn away. He's like, no, right here. Look at me. Look at me all the time. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Just look at me. Stay focused on me. The question this morning each of us have to ask ourselves is, what are you focusing on?
You know what you're focusing on. But more importantly, our Heavenly Father knows what you're focusing on.
And I can't help but think that he's saying, look at me. Come on, look at me. You're not looking at me. If you want to get through 2021 and 22 and 23, if you want to get through the next day, you need to be focused on me. There's an old song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Ooh. Father in heaven, this morning we... our focus has been on you this morning. And Father, I can't help but think that this morning we will remain focused on you. And Father, I think that there are some people who are maybe adjusting, and saying that what they're focusing on. And I pray that as they're adjusting, that when they adjust, their eyes are going to become more clear. Not only will their eyes see, but their hearts will see what your word is trying to speak into them. Your word is not sit here to like to beat people down. Your word is all about your love that you have for us. Nothing but pure love. Unconditional love. Father, I pray that we remain not just those who are in this sanctuary, but those who are in leadership, regardless the level, that they would be focused on you. In your name I pray. Amen.